Lord Jesus, how we thank you, Lord. How we rejoice that you have gathered us together here to sit before your feet to listen to your speaking. We do believe that your speaking is right here with a fresh and timely speaking. Lord, we are emptied and poor in spirit. We turn our hearts fully unto you. May we turn from all persons, things, and matters and turn to you so that in these 5 meetings we would see more of you to gain more of you. Lord Jesus, open the heavens to us. Dispense yourself into us so that all of us would be an emptied and open vessel. Lord, remove all the veils on our hearts so that this very heavenly speaking can be infused into every one of us, so that your speaking will find room in us to occupy our entire being. We consecrate ourselves to you again. Cover us with your blood. Sanctify this place so that your wherever your blood is, there your anointing is. Anoint our speaking, anoint our hearing, so that there will be no hindrance to your speaking, so that you can move freely. Thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, in this first of the 7 feasts this year. It is a Chinese-speaking conference. How joyful that we can be gathered together here. We have altogether 5 meetings. The general subject of this conference is very special. If you look at your outline sheet, you see that the general subject is Noah, Daniel, and Job, patterns of living and overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill the economy of God. In this conference, we will share with you 3 persons in the Bible. These 3 persons are Noah, Daniel, and Job. If we have read the Bible, we should have some knowledge about these 3 persons. Yet, the burden of this conference is not just to look at the situation of them individually. Rather, with the help of Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 14 and 20, I'll read those verses to you. In these verses, these 3 figures, persons, were put together in a very particular way. They are indeed a pattern. What kind of pattern? Not the pattern of a good man, not a pattern of a moral person, neither a pattern of a religious person. Rather, it is the pattern of one who lived an overcoming life on the line of life. May the Lord, through these messages, unveil to us the Lord's eternal economy, how he will dispense himself into us. These 3 persons are very special. Let us look at the outline of message 1. The message title is Living and Working According to the Vision of the Age to Change the Age. Here, you have the vision of the age. Here, you see the need to change the age. I'm afraid that most of you who are new to the loss recovery, not that familiar with these terms. What does that mean with vision of the age and what is to change the age? The vision is very important to us Christians, for us to live a proper Christian life and church life. We must have a vision. This vision refers to a spectacular seeing. If you see a special scene, you will never forget it. This scene, this seeing will capture you so that you would just put aside all other things that occupy you. This vision is not an ordinary vision. It is the vision of the age. In other words, it is the vision concerning God's work in a particular age. We need to see this vision. This is not referring to our personal need. Rather, we need to see the vision of the age so that we see what God is doing, His unique work in this age. This vision is much more important than any other visions. In this age, God has His particular work, which is that He wants to dispense Himself into man. He wants to work Himself into man to be man's life and everything. This vision is very important. If we can clearly see this vision and live under the governing of this vision, we will be those who can change or turn the age. In the last 2,000 years, there have been age after age. Today, we are living at the end of the age. Very soon, we will enter into another age, the kingdom age. The Lord desires that there will be a group of people who are like Noah, Daniel, and Job, like these patterns who live under the control of the vision of the age in order to change or turn the age. Not only do we want the Lord to come back soon to solve all of our problems, rather, we desire that the Lord would come back soon to bring in a change of the age, to bring in His kingdom. Let's read Roman numeral 1. Noah, Daniel, and Job are patterns revealing how we can live an overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill the economy of God. This is to live and work according to the vision of the age, to change the age. I have already said that these three persons, these three figures, we do not look at them separately. Rather, we have to group them together to consider them as one group. This is according to Ezekiel chapter 14. To enable many who have not read that much of the Old Testament, I will read these verses to you. Not just verses 14 and 20. Rather, I would begin with verse 3. Here it says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord Jehovah, each and every man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and goes to the prophet I, Jehovah, will be found to be answering according to this, according to the multitude of his idols, that I may lay hold of the house of Israel in their heart, who have become estranged from me because of all their idols. This is God's dealing with his people. God's dealing with a particular situation of his people. They have set up idols. These are not just outward material idols. Rather, they have set up these idols in their hearts. Don't think that an idol is something in the idol temple where you go to worship the physical idols. Rather, this is something that have entered into people's hearts. Because of such idols, they become estranged from God. Verse 12. Then the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by acting unfaithfully, and I stretch out my hand over it, and break its staff of bread, and send a famine against it, and cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the midst of it, they would deliver only their own souls by their righteousness, declare the Lord Jehovah. So here, these three figures are mentioned, Noah, Daniel, and Job. 15. If I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land so that they destroy its inhabitants and it became desolate, that no one would pass through it because of the beasts. Though these three men were in the midst of it as I live, declares the Lord Jehovah, they could not deliver even their sons and daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the land would be desolate. Verse 17. Or if I were to bring a sword upon that land, and were to say, let the sword pass through that land, and I were to cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in the midst of it, as I live, declares the Lord Jehovah, they could not deliver even their sons and daughters, but they alone would be delivered. 19. Or if I were to send pestilence into that land, and were to pour out my wrath upon it in blood, so as to cut off men and beasts from it. 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the midst of it, as I live, declares the Lord Jehovah, they could not deliver even a son or a daughter. They would deliver only their own souls by their righteousness. So, in this portion of the word, you see that God is dealing with a very serious situation. He used four kind of judgments, exercise four kinds of judgments. And he mentioned Noah, Daniel, and Job. They have their own righteousness, and they can only deliver their own souls by their righteousness. They cannot deliver, cannot save the other people of the land. This is something very serious. When God's people is related to idols, when they set up idols in their hearts, what is an idol? An idol is anything apart from God himself that occupies our heart is an idol. Don't think that you go to an idol temple to worship, that is an idol. These three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they live in different periods of time. Noah lived around 2900 BC, about 1000 years after creation of Adam. At that time, at the time of Noah, the people were indulged in the pleasures of the world, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They are indulged in their lust, in their sin, and they did all kinds of evil things. They were stupefied by the outward world, the entertainment, and all kinds of sins. Of course, those are idols. And during the time of Daniel, he lived around 620 BC. He lived in the age of captivity. He was captured to Babylon. In the Babylonian kingdom, history tells us that it's a kingdom full of idols, many pagan gods, false gods, pagan gods. Under that situation, Daniel had to overcome all the religious superstitious idols. By the time of Job, he lived about the same time as Abraham, about 2000 BC. Job, what are the idols of Job? He was a righteous man, an upright man. He was filled with self-righteousness. He was satisfied with himself. He was satisfied with his own uprightness. When he had various kinds of suffering, he even challenged God that I want to bring you to court. He felt that God was unfair to him. He felt that his own uprightness and his own righteousness should have justified him. Yet, even our self-justification, our self-satisfaction is a kind of idol. We worship our own kind of righteousness, our own uprightness. The point here is, whether it is the worldly amusements, sin, or the religious superstition or self-justification, self-satisfaction in man's heart, which cause us to be separated and estranged from God. These are all idols. So this is the background. With such a background, Ezekiel heard this word from God and said it to God's people. These three men, these three persons were specially mentioned. Noah, Daniel, and Job. That is very significant. And this is related to God's people having set up idols in their hearts so that they become estranged from God. God is the living spring of life to us. He wants us to drink of Him, to enjoy Him, take Him as our supply and our everything. So here, God said through Ezekiel these words, in which he put forth these three persons to remind us that there are three whose living and work are different, totally different from the people of their age. You might say they were the overcomers of that age. They overcame all the idols in their respective age. They walk on the line of life. What is meant by the line of life? Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the way of your life. Before you, there is the satisfying joy, and in your right hand, there is the everlasting blessing." In God's eternal economy, we need to walk on a way that is not the way of the law, not the way of ethics or morality, not the way of religion. Rather, it is a way, a path of life. What is life? Life is just God Himself. Today, when we walk on the way of the lost recovery, it is not that we just become a group of spiritual people who know the Bible very well. That is not what God is after. God is after a group of people who draw near to Him, who are willing to receive God into them, allow God to fill them and saturate them and be everything to them. They and God, God and they are fully joined and mingled together. The line of life or the path of life is to come before God to have a life relationship, an organic relationship with God. At the very beginning of Genesis, we see in the Garden of Eden a tree, the tree of life. And in Revelation, the end of the Bible, again you see the tree of life. We will have more messages on this matter of the tree of life. The principle here, brothers and sisters, is that the entire Bible shows us God's eternal economy is a way of life. It is a line of life. It is not a matter of outward behavior. It is not a matter of ethics and morality. Rather, it's a matter of life, which life is just God Himself. It is God being enjoyed by us, being received by us, filling us. That is life. These three persons are patterns of living and overcoming life on the line of life. I have already said this. They are in their respective ages to overcome all kinds of idols, outward idols, inward idols. We should not let anything occupy our heart, capture our heart, so that there is any distance between God and us. We need to live an overcoming life in order to fulfill the economy of God. Then, this is to live and work according to the vision of the age, to change the age. These three, they have the significance of changing the age. At the time of Noah, he is an age changer. With Daniel, you also see the turn from the age of captivity to the age of the recovery, to be brought back to the God-ordained place to build the temple. Even Job, he lived approximately at the same time as Abraham. God needed a new beginning. Brothers and sisters, are we willing to be an age turner? We all wish that the Lord would come quickly. But for the Lord to come, He needs a group of people who will cooperate with Him in order to turn the age. We must remove all the idols from our hearts. May the Lord use these messages to speak to all of us. Lord, remove any idol from within me. Don't allow any person, things that matter to hinder you, to frustrate my fellowship, my union with you. Lord, I want you to enter into me without any hindrance, so that there is no barrier between you and me, so that you can occupy my being. God wants to have such an intimate relationship with us. Roman numeral 2. The lives of Noah, Daniel, and Job reveal the triune God dispensing Himself, working Himself into His chosen and redeemed people to fulfill His eternal economy. Here it says, the triune God. Some saints, whenever you hear about the triune God, you feel, oh, this is too doctrinal, too deep. This is something they talk about in seminaries. I don't need to get into this complication. No, brothers and sisters, the triune God is the basic structure of the Bible. If you take away the triune God, you said, just God is good enough. No, you are simple, but God is not that simple. God, in his revelation, reveals himself as a triune God, a three-one God. He is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. As the Father, he is the source. As the Son, he is the channel. As the Spirit, he is the dispensing. God the Father plans. God the Son carries it out. God the Spirit dispenses. So, the triune God shows us a very important revelation right there from the very beginning, the first page of the Bible, until the last page of the Bible in Revelation, shows us what God is doing in his chosen people through the Father's choosing and the Son's executing, especially through his redemption and the Spirit's dispensing of God himself into us in order to fulfill his eternal economy, so that this mysterious God, this God who is so distant from us, far above us in the heavens, can be wrought into us. Thank the Lord, our God is a triune God. It is in his divine Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit, to work himself into us. We must be filled with gratitude that the God whom we believe is not an objective God sitting there far away in the heavens. He is not only the one, the Lord, who came to this earth to accomplish redemption 2,000 years ago. Rather, this God has passed through the processes and consummated as a consummated spirit, which spirit is so available to us so that we can receive him just like breathing. We can just breathe him in and enjoy him. So this is the basic structure of the triune God. Basic structure of the Bible, the triune God. I don't have time to get into more details. If you read your Bible carefully, you see the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit everywhere in the Bible. But this is not three gods. Rather, it is one God with the aspect of three, in order that he can work himself into us. So these three persons, Noah, Daniel, and Job, reveal the triune God dispensing himself, working himself into his chosen and redeemed people to fulfill his eternal economy. Pay attention to the next part of this statement. The entire Bible was written according to the governing principle of the triune God dispensing himself into us for us to experience him, enjoy him, and express him for the fulfillment of his divine economy. Such an utterance, I hope all of you brothers and sisters can learn to appreciate it. Don't think that, oh, every conference you just talk about the same thing. I'm fed up with this. No, I hope that every time we just want to listen more about this triune God, how he in the Father, in the Son, as the Spirit, to dispense himself into us. To us, this very God is subjective. He is not an objective God outside of us. Today, he has come into us. If God were to fulfill his economy, to complete his work in us, he must enter into us to be our everything. So this triune God, the divine Trinity, is the way, the governing principle in which the Bible is written. For example, the book of Ephesians, Paul's prayer, he prayed to the Father that through his Spirit, by power to strengthen us into another man, so that God will make home in us, no, that Christ may make his home in our hearts. So, in this short statement, Paul unveils the triune God as the source, and as the one in whom all the riches are, and through his Spirit, he wants to strengthen us into our inner man, into our spirit, with the result that Christ will make his home in our hearts. So you see the triune God here. It is just one God, but in order for him to be wrought into us, he must be triune. He must be the one who plans, the one who carries it out, and the one who dispenses. It is in this way, step by step, that God can work himself into us. This vision, such an understanding, brothers and sisters, is very important. I'm so burdened that all of you, especially the newly saved ones, you are saved just for 1 or 2 years, don't think that these words are so profound. Actually, just like we eat and drink every day, we receive food into us. Our God is like food and water or drink. He wants us to receive him and enjoy him. Take him into us. God does not want us to worship and serve him outwardly. God wants us to enjoy him. At the very beginning of the Bible, he shows us that he is a tree of life for men to receive and enjoy. The entire Bible was written according to the governing principle. To this governing principle, brothers and sisters, may this word be deeply impressed in you. The entire Bible is not to teach you to do this or not to do that, where you can go somewhere or not. No. The governing principle of the entire Bible is the triune God dispensing himself into us for us to enjoy him, to be everything to us. Dispensing himself into us for us to experience him, enjoy him, and express him for the fulfillment of his divine economy. Let's look at the three sub-points. Capital A. With Noah, we see God the Father in his faithfulness to keep his eternal covenant. X signified by the rainbow, which is his eternal economy to dispense the all-inclusive Christ into his chosen people as righteousness, holiness, and glory to make them the wise exhibition of all that Christ is. It's so amazing that Ezekiel tells us these three persons, Noah, Daniel, and Job, not four, neither two, it's just three. Why? Three. Because our God is a triune God. Noah speaks forth God the Father. The work, the particular work of God the Father in his faithfulness. At the age of Noah, man was became fallen to the uttermost. Even the eternal God repented of his creation of man. At that time, man sinned to the uttermost. All the thoughts that they have are sinful. And man became flesh. Man is a corrupted, degraded, fallen flesh, which God hated so much. Even to the extent that God repented that he had made man on the earth. Can God repent? Of course, he is eternal. He will never repent. But on the other hand, here it says God has such a wrath, a hatred here. He even repented that he had made man on the earth, and he would destroy, sweep out all the living things on this earth with a flood. Yet, in this situation, you have a person, Noah, who found grace in the sight of Jehovah. He had a proper heart before God. He found favor or found grace in the sight of Jehovah. He touched God's heart. So God showed him how to build an ark. Before the flood came, this ark was made ready. It took him many, many years to build this ark. At that time, he was 600 years old when he started to build the ark. And flood came 350 years later. At that time, all the men of the earth were destroyed by the flood. It is only Noah and his family that have been saved. Then God said to Noah, "Now I want to make a covenant with you so that you can have the peace that I will never destroy the earth with flood again. I want to make a covenant with you. I will show you a rainbow. Whenever you see the rainbow, you will be reminded that God has made a covenant with us to guarantee that he would never destroy man with the flood again. The rainbow has many colors, but there are three basic colors: blue, red, and yellow. These three colors typify the three aspects concerning the attributes of God. Blue refers to God's righteousness, red referring to God's holiness, and yellow refers to God's glory. God's righteousness, holiness, and glory. These are three major aspects of the attributes of God. When man fell, Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, and God set up the cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. So man was driven away from the garden. This cherubim speaks forth God's glory, and the sword speaks of God's holiness and God's righteousness, and the fire, the flame, speaks of God's holiness. Man comes short of the glory of God. Man was driven out. But one day, God came to the earth to become a man, who is Jesus Christ. He lived a life in such a way that his death fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God. He lived out a holy life. He expressed God's glory. He lived out God the Father. In other words, through God himself being incarnated, he fulfilled the holiness, the requirements of holiness, righteousness, and glory of God, so that the way to the tree of life is reopened, so that all those who believe can be brought back to the tree of life to enjoy God. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it is of God that we were in Christ. Of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our redemption. Redemption here equals to our glorification. So through this rainbow, God guarantees that he is the faithful one. He forgives us. And through this rainbow, he promises that one day his son will come to accomplish to satisfy the requirements of righteousness, holiness, and glory, so that we who believe into him become holy, sanctified, righteous, and glorified. So such an all-inclusive Christ entering into us, dispensing to us as righteousness, holiness, and glory to make us the wise exhibition of all that Christ is. So Noah speaks forth the work of God the Father as the faithful one. B, with Daniel, we see that Christ the Son is the centrality and universality of God's move, and that the goal of God's eternal economy is to have the corporate Christ with his overcomers as the crushing stone to be his dispensational instrument to end this age and become a great mountain to fill the whole earth, making the whole earth God's kingdom. With Daniel, what do we see? We know that Daniel was in captivity, in the age of captivity in Babylon. One day, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He forgot about the dream, and he asked the people to tell him what the dream is and to interpret his dream. Eventually, they found Daniel, who spoke forth the dream of the king and interpreted it. King Nebuchadnezzar saw a great human image. Its head was of fine gold, its breast and arms of silver, abdomen and thighs of bronze, and legs of iron. The great human image, actually, Daniel interpreted this dream. He told the king that this human image is a picture of the human government. In the last 6,000 years is the kingdom of Babylon and Medo-Persian kingdom, and then the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. The four major empires constitute the human government. And the king also saw that there is a stone cut out without hands, crushed the feet of the image and smashed it. And this stone became a big mountain. It is not easy to interpret such a dream. Can you interpret this dream? Yet Daniel had his God-given wisdom. Of course, he did not say it that clearly. He said this stone is about the coming Messiah, Christ himself. He is the stone cut without hands. He was crucified on the cross. He became man and was crucified by man. Actually, he was not crucified by man. It is God who crucified him to the cross. He was that stone that is forsaken by the Israelites. And it is this stone that will crush the human government. Our Lord will come soon. He is that very stone to smash, to crush the entire human government so that it will just fall down. And this stone will be enlarged into a great mountain. What is this great mountain? This great mountain is the corporate enlarged Christ. The corporate Christ becoming his kingdom. So Daniel, in his age, he saw this vision. In this vision, the center is Christ himself. He is the centrality and universality of God's move. He is the goal of God's economy. God is after a corporate Christ, Christ with his overcomers as the crushing stone to be his dispensational instrument. This vision captivated Daniel. Daniel's vision is the vision of the age, to turn the age or to terminate the age to bring in the next age, which is the kingdom age. So, with Daniel, we see the work of Christ the Son, now capital C. With Job, we see God the Spirit bringing his lovers through the process of transformation by the renewing of the Holy Spirit in their seeing God, to gain God, and be transformed by God, to carry out what is in the heart of God by becoming God in life, in nature, and in appearance, but not in the Godhead, for the corporate expression of God, the glory of God. We also know that Job, he was one who feared God, a very pious person, very upright, yet God allowed many sufferings to come upon him. We may say that in the entire Bible, the deepest sufferings are the ones that Job experienced. His three friends came to exhort him. Job, you suffer all these. It must be because you did something wrong, because you did something that is not pleasing to God, so you are judged by God. Job felt, yes, I suffer here. God is dealing with me, not because I'm wrong. I have nothing wrong. It is God dealing with me. On the one hand, he won to argue with God. God, this is unfair. He even said, God, I know that there is something that's hidden in your heart, yet I don't know what it is. I have done nothing wrong. Why would you deal with me in this way? Job, the book of Job has 42 chapters. 36 chapters are the record of these three friends discussing, debating with Job. They wanted to convince Job that he had done something wrong so that God judged him. They are all together in the realm of right or wrong. 36 or 37 chapters of wasted words, empty arguments, reasoning. Yet, in such a situation, Job chapter 38, God began to come out to speak. Then Job heard it. He was enlightened and he said to God, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. He saw that his uprightness, his perfectness are altogether something that cannot stand before God. He needs a new constitution. He needs to be renewed by God. So here you see the work of the God the Spirit. Titus 3:5, we have the renewing of the Spirit. So God the Spirit bringing His lovers through the process of transformation by the renewing of the Holy Spirit in their seeing God to gain God. So Job passed through a lot of sufferings to such an extent that he can see God. To see God is to gain God. Let me continue to read. So you see the three persons are very important. They speak forth our triune God. Because Noah speaks forth God the Father. Daniel speaks forth Christ the Son. Job speaks forth the work of God the Spirit. Now we come to Roman numeral 3. But Noah found grace in the sight of Jehovah. I have said that at the age of Noah, how corrupted and evil man became. Among so many people, there is one, the Bible says, but Noah, the word but is very important because it shows a contrast. May hope that we can say but and add our name to it. But Ezra Chow. But. Then add your name to it. Today among the fallen people there is one. But there is one. Found grace in the sight of Jehovah. Strictly speaking, grace comes in the New Testament, but from the point of view of typology, Noah, in his age, received a favor, a grace from God, which grace is actually God Himself, to be His power, to be His wisdom, to be His everything. So that when he encountered these fallen, rotten situation, he could live out a godly life. Capital A, Noah's life and work reveal how much grace can do for fallen people. Grace is the wonderful Christ as our burden bearer, doing everything in us on our behalf for our enjoyment. Grace is none other than Christ Himself. Our God in Christ as grace being enjoyed by us to bear all of our heavy burdens. Small one, the flesh is the presence of the devil and grace is the presence of God. In order for us to face the presence of Satan, we need the presence of God. Two, the issue of grace is righteousness. By the power of grace is strength of grace and the life of grace, we can be right with God, with one another, and even with ourselves. If you have grace, even in the worst situation, you still can have the peace. You still can live out God. Not by your own resolution, not by your own strength, rather it is by the one, by God who strengthens you, by God as your grace. This is God's presence with you. In this way, you have righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is to be right with God and with man according to the standard of God. All men are unrighteous. In other words, we are not right with God and we are not right with one another, not even with our spouse, our children. We are not right with them. We lack righteousness. But when we have the enjoyment of Christ, spontaneously we live out righteousness. We become right with respect to God and with respect to men. B. Noah walked with God and built the ark for the carrying out of the divine economy. The second thing about Noah is his building of the ark. Small one. The first building of God in the scripture is Noah's ark, signifying Christ as the building of God. and man. God's building is a God-man. Noah's building of the ark is something that pleased God very much. From the very beginning, God desires to have a building. You know, when Jacob was in the wilderness, he fled from his father's house to flee from his elder brother Esau. In Genesis 28, he had a dream there in the wilderness, and God spoke to him. And when he woke up, he set up the rock with which he used as a pillar. He erected it and poured oil on it, and he called this place Bethel, which means the house of God. This is very meaningful. This is the first time when God manifested himself to man, the first vision of God to man. It is a vision concerning God's building. Oil being poured upon the stone. Oil refers to God the Spirit being poured out on the stone. The stones are us, the regenerated ones, so that God will be mingled and joined with men. This is the building. So Noah's building of the ark signifies that Christ is the building of God and man. God's building is a God-man. Just like Christ, he is God becoming flesh. God and man mingled as one. The first person with the mingling of God and man is the Lord Jesus. He is the first person who is the building of God. So when he was on this earth, he is called the temple of God, the habitation of God. Two, the building of the ark typifies the building of the corporate Christ, the church as the body of Christ, with the element of Christ's riches as the building material. The ark typifies Christ because it's in Christ that we are delivered out from God's judgment. We can pass through the water of the flood. This is not just the individual Christ. The ark also typifies the corporate Christ being built up, which is the church as the body of Christ. Today, we live in the church, we live in the body of Christ, we will be delivered out of the corrupted and degraded world being judged by God. Three, the three stories of the ark signify the triune God according to our experience of him. The Spirit, signified by the lower story, brings us to the Son, and the Son brings us higher in our experience to the Father. Ephesians 2:16 says that in Christ, for through him we both have access in one Spirit unto the Father. So here you see the triune God again. It is through Christ in one Spirit unto the Father. So the ark has these three stories. We need to go from the lower story all the way up to the highest story. On the third story of the ark, there was only one window toward the heavens, signifying that in the church, God's building, there is only one revelation and one vision through the one New Testament ministry. This is quite strange. Such a big boat has only one window. It's a skylight opening up to the heavens. It is the light of heaven shining down through the skylight into the ark. Today, in this ark, which brings about God's move on earth, you have only one heavenly revelation. We do not have many different visions and revelations. We have only one vision, one revelation. This is God's unique vision, the vision of the age, with which he has illuminated us. So it is through the New Testament ministry, the ministry of the age, that we are shown the heart's desire of God. This vision should govern and control all of our living, our acts and our move. We are all together under the control of this revelation. Roman numeral 4, I will just give you a brief bird's eye view of these things. In the upcoming messages, we will get into these three persons in greater detail. Roman numeral 4. Daniel shows us that we must redeem the time to enjoy Christ as the supreme preciousness of God, for us to be constituted with Him, to be men of preciousness, even preciousness itself as His personal treasure. Let me continue to read. Capital A. The excellent Christ appeared to Daniel in His supreme preciousness as a man for His appreciation, consolation, encouragement, expectation, and stabilization. We see that Daniel speaks forth Christ the Son and the work of Christ. Daniel saw a person who is Christ Himself. He is the treasure. He is the top treasure. Paul said, for this treasure, he even gave up, forsook all his attainments. All of these he considered dung, considered refuse. In order to gain Christ as his treasure, we need to appreciate this treasure. The more we enjoy and receive this treasure, we become a treasure in the eyes of God. So, when God saw Daniel, He said, Daniel is the man of preciousness. Not only had he seen the precious one, he himself even became righteousness itself. Okay, I will read these small points, 6 points to you. One, Christ appeared as a priest in his humanity, signified by the linen robe to care for his chosen people in their captivity. This is Christ's humanity. He appeared as a priest to take care of God's chosen people too. Christ appeared in his kingship, in his divinity, signified by the girdle of gold for ruling over all the peoples. Three, for his people's appreciation, Christ appeared in his preciousness and dignity, as signified by his body being like burial. The Hebrew word for burial could refer to a bluish green or yellow precious stone, signifying that Christ in his embodiment is divine, yellow, full of life, green, and heavenly blue. Four, Christ also appeared in his brightness for shining over the people, as signified by his face being like the appearance of lightning, and in his enlightening sight for searching and judging, as signified by his eyes being like torches of fire. Five, Christ appeared in the gleam of his work and move, as signified by his arms and his feet being like the gleam of polished bronze. Six, Christ appeared in his strong speaking for judging people, as signified by the sound of his words being like the sound of a multitude. Brothers and sisters, this is our Christ. He is the treasure of treasures. He is the most precious one. I don't have time to get into all of these details. Every single point is worth our prayer reading to appreciate the Lord's preciousness. The more we know His preciousness, the more we experience His preciousness, the more we'll become precious ones before God. We become treasures to God. B. Daniel received the revelation that the entire world situation is under the rule of the heavens by the God of heavens in order to give Christ the preeminence, the first place in everything. This is the vision that Daniel saw. His vision is indeed a vision of the age which shows forth the entire situation of the world. All is open up to him. The world situation open up to him. We need to be like Daniel to be turners of the age. Okay, Roman numeral 5. Then Jehovah answered Job. Then Job answered Jehovah, and Jehovah turned the captivity of Job. I have told you. 36 chapters of man's speaking, man's opinions, man's arguments. All of a sudden, Job, chapter 38, then Jehovah answered Job. Thank the Lord. All of us need to stop our opinions, our arguments, our reasonings, so that God can speak. When God, when Jehovah speaks, the sky is cleared up. And Job also answered Jehovah. Okay, capital A. The logic of Job's friends was according to the line of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in their thinking that Job's sufferings were a matter of God's judgment. However, Job's sufferings were God's consuming, that God might gain Job so that he might gain God more. Job's self-justification, self-uprightness need to be consumed by God. Oftentimes, we are still in our own uprightness. If you, we don't do bad things, we don't love the world, we are so satisfied with ourselves, we justify ourselves so much. This justification of ourselves will become our idol so that we become estranged from God. So God need to do a special work on Job to consume him with all kinds of suffering so that he will understand that he is nothing. He is not worthy of anything. He need to empty himself so that God can come in so that he can gain more of God. Small one, God's intention with Job was to tear down the natural Job in his perfection and uprightness, that he might build up a renewed Job in God's nature and attributes. Two, God's intention was to usher Job into a deeper seeking after God, that Job might realize that what he was short of in his human life was God himself, and that he might pursue God, gain God, and express God. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we both are short of God. You might not be short of knowledge, short of good behavior, but with us, there is not much of God, not much constitution, not much weight, not much taste of God. So God need to make use of all kinds of circumstances to do a tearing down work, a consuming work on us, so that God can be added into us. May God usher us into a deeper seeking after him. 3. God's intention was to have a Job in the line of the tree of life and to make Job a man of God, a life man, a man of life, no longer in his own religious self-justification, rather a person who is really a man of God, a man of life. The tree of life speaks for that every day we need to rely on him to eat him in order to live. B. Job reveals that the Bible of 66 books is for only one thing, for God in Christ by the Spirit to dispense himself into us to be our life, our nature, and our everything, that we may live Christ and express Christ. This should be the principle that governs our life. May this word be deeply impressed in our heart. So that it become, this is the first key statement for this conference. Brothers and sisters, let us digest this statement well. The 66 books of the Bible is for this only one thing. If you see this very thing, the entire Bible will become open to you. Let me conclude with capital C. The way to live and work in this principle is to be and do everything by the Spirit, with the Spirit, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit, by exercising our spirit. Today, the triune God, having passed through all the processes, has been consummated as the Spirit. He is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Yet, after passing through the processes, after death and resurrection today, He is simply the Spirit. As New Testament believers, the most important thing for us is to live in the Spirit, in the mingled Spirit. God, the Spirit, has entered into our spirit, His Spirit being joined and mingled with our spirit to become one spirit. Every day we need to live and move by the Spirit and according to the Spirit, so that we can live under the vision of the age. Every day, as a person who lives in the Spirit, we will be an overcomer, to overcome the many idols of this age, to become one who changes or turns the age in order to bring in the kingdom age. Let's spend half a minute to have some prayer.